I said to him, why are you eating pizza at 9 o'clock in the morning? He said, oh, she speaks. And it was, everyone laughed and it made it a little bit more comfortable, but I'll never forget. It's
hi, everyone. This is Madison from The Few Podcast. We have a very exciting episode today. We're here live at the Omni Rancho Las Palmas at our 2025 Confidence Summit. It's been a very exciting day full of lots of amazing speakers. It's been really inspiring to hear from everyone in the community and hear how they've built all of their success, all the struggles that they've been through, and how they got to where they are today. Rob is busy on stage right now with an exciting speaker. Right after this, you'll hear from him and Stephanie Link, which is very exciting. So stay tuned for that. And thank you everyone for watching as always.
Well, welcome, Stephanie, and thank you for being on scene to the Confidence Summit Women, Wealth, and Wellness 2025. We're in Omni Rancho Marsh, California. You are a keynote speaker, and we're just so blessed and privileged to have you make the effort to be here. And you're, you know, a dynamo and a powerhouse in everything that you do.
Thank you for having me.
And you're second to none.
Thank you.
Second to none. So we appreciate this partnership. We appreciate this friendship. But we're going to get right to finding out about Stephanie. Stephanie, tell us about, you might have said this a million times, but you haven't done this on the podcast before. Describe your journey to Wall Street.
Oh, it's been a long time. And certainly not something that I expected. I was very fortunate growing up to have family in the business. My entire family, they were all FAs. At the time, they called them stockbrokers.
Right.
So that's how old I am. And I didn't know what they were doing, but I could see and feel the energy and the excitement that they all had and their journey. And so at a very early age, I was put into the back office at my father's office. And he said, make friends and try to absorb as much as you can. When he said, what do you think you want to do after you graduate from college? And I said, I don't know, but I want to have that excitement. I want to learn every day and I want to make money. That wasn't really the best thing to say to really at the time anyone. But he said to me, you really do want to have financial independence. That's the most important. He said, you want to be happy. You want to work hard. It's not going to be easy, but you really want to have financial independence. And so I got my first job on Wall Street on a trading floor, about 500 people. And
How many women?
I was one of three. You remember this story well. It was really intimidating, but I was able to get a thick skin right from the beginning. And honestly, just work really hard, harder, smarter, longer than anyone, and to try to make a name for myself. And so along my journey, throughout many of the different jobs that I had, I was able to find mentors. And if I could give any advice to any woman, that young woman that's getting into anything, any part of their career, find mentors, find people that can actually help and guide you, coach you, advocate for you. They could see, for me, they could see that I had a lot of potential that I couldn't see. And I think to this day, every career that I've had, every job that I've had a mentor. And to this day, I still keep in touch with all of them. And so I was in sales for 16 years. I moved from sales into portfolio management and running a portfolio, and then now running an investment team at Hightower. So it's been really a wonderful journey, a long one, and certainly not one that I thought was going to be the case when I graduated.
It's a wonderful story. I always love hearing you say that and sharing that. And it's very, it's inspirational. And you are that role model for so many out there. There's no question about it. I think it's tremendous, and you're a tremendous prowess on Wall Street, and your success is, second to none. It's remarkable. But what would you say to a young woman starting out today?
Go for it and don't be intimidated, and speak your mind, have opinions, ask good questions, ask bad questions. I had to ask so many bad questions so many times because I couldn't even understand. It takes such a long time to understand this business, any business for that matter. And so read a lot, ask questions, find people that are senior that you can ask about your career and what kind of a path that is out there. And stay away from the water cooler. I don't even think water coolers actually exist anymore, but stay away from that.
I think there's one in this room right now. But you're exactly, I know what you're talking about. When I first started out, it was 100 cold calls a day. And I did that as an intern at 15 for my brother's internship at Merrill Lynch. So he had a college internship and I was in high school and he's leaving the house. And I said, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm going to my internship. And he got paid. I didn't. But I was held, you know, I was given a phone. I was given
a
100 names.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, smiled and dialed.
I did that too.
And I loved it.
And you loved it. See, I did that too for my brother and I didn't love it.
Okay.
And that's what made me think, you know what? And maybe I don't want to go down the FA route.
Okay.
Maybe I want to do something different. And that's why I chose more towards corporate and institutional sales. But you loved it. What did you love about it?
I love connecting with somebody. I love that interpersonal communication and connecting. And if you're truly connecting, even over the phone, you can hear that connection. It's if you're genuine and authentic and you're doing it for the right reasons, there are people that need help. And that was one of the coolest aspects. Another cool aspect was I also truly believed and leaned into the philosophy that every no got me closer to a yes.
Oh, that's...
And so I loved to fail. I wasn't afraid to fail. And as you go through that, it's like, I think that's sort of the lost art of today. What you just said, which is just start, just do it. And then if you fail so many times, that's where you get your confidence. That's where you gain your sea legs. And then you're like, you know what? It's not as scary as you thought.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I think sometimes if you fail, that's how you learn. You learn the most when you fail. You get so excited when you're successful, but what did you do wrong and how can you be better?
Yeah.
It's not good if you fail and you don't learn from it, right? So I agree with you on that, but I didn't like having the nose and people hanging up on me. That was hard.
True. Let me ask this. So in our previous podcast, we had Valerie Power Smith, who is a Dynamo attorney here locally. She told a story how she too was, you know, in a male dominated industry in her first trial, you know, the opposing counsel basically in a break before they heard the, you know, went to blows, called her a Barbie just to intimidate her, blew to her. She won her first case, but you know, she never let that stop her. And obviously the society view is about women empowerment. I'm a father of three daughters. I fully supported my wife in her own career. But the world and a lot of different industries are still male dominant.
Yeah.
Is there a story you can share where you've had an experience, but you didn't let that get you down? And what advice or direction would you give?
Well, it would certainly be in my first job when I was an institutional salesperson on that trading desk with all the men and all the people. Which, by the way, you couldn't wear women at the time couldn't wear pantsuits, couldn't wear sleeveless tops. Had to wear stockings. Women in this room will know, and in this podcast, you'll know that we had to wear stockings in the summer, nothing worse. But what I learned was I don't think I said a word for the first 3 months. I was so nervous and I was so inexperienced. And I found my mentors and I worked for them and I asked them questions, but I didn't really let myself open up and ask questions to people around me. And I was, as a result of being kind of quiet and shy, I was viewed as, you know, nothing special. And I actually overheard the head trader say, she's nothing special. I don't know what, we were all so excited to have her come. And we heard so many great things all about her family, but she doesn't really participate. And I heard it and I went home and I cried to my father, of course. And he said, that's not you though. He said, I know you. You're aggressive, you're a go-getter, you're determined. You want to make money, you want to be successful. Why aren't you out there? And I'm like, because it's hard. And he said, well, life's not easy. And so that motivated me to at least start to ask the questions. And then when the head trader made fun of me one day while he was eating pizza at 9 o'clock in the morning, I said to him, why are you eating pizza at 9 o'clock in the morning? He said, oh, she speaks. And it was everyone laughed and it made it a little bit more comfortable, but I'll never forget. It's don't doubt yourself. Even if you don't know what you're really doing, if you're new and you're insecure, well, learn, read, work hard, ask questions so you get that confidence. And that's what happened. But I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that story. She's not special.
Well, you have a great support system. You have a great father. I'm a fan of your father.
I love my dad.
Yeah.
87 and he's still an FA.
Oh, is that right? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'll share a story at my former firm. one of the reasons why I love Hightower, because they knew I had this passion project at my, I started at my former firm, and that was the Society of the Few. And I don't know if you know my story on the Society of the Few, but I started it with basically my mom being the very first inspiration for that, because my dad, so I'm a financial advisor in this industry. My brother's a financial advisor at a different firm at the time. And my dad came over in 1953 as an immigrant. Back then it used to be Yugoslavia, today is Croatia. And my mom's this Italian mom from New York, right? And so they met way back when, had a couple of boys. My dad's very traditional. My mom stayed at home, you know, and raised my brother and I. Mm-hmm. So he took care of all the finances and everything else. Fast forward, my dad, 70 years to retirement, goes to retire age 70, wants to spend time with the kids and the grandkids. And then 4 months into retirement, got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Oh.
So my mom went into, they live in Scottsdale. My mom went into the world of learning the Mayo Clinic, right? And all the doctors, the surgeons, the medical advocate, being a nurse, 24-hour care. And that was a different language.
Sure.
And then she has to pick up the world of finance. She has to pick up the world of estate planning, all of this. Yeah. And my brother and I had the investments covered, and we were able to guide her through that. But I said, if this could happen in my own family, there's a lot more women in transition. And especially since my son and I are minorities in a sorority, I wanted to start a program. So at my former firm, I floated the idea of the Society of the Few and literally trademarked it myself and did everything to be totally, you know, leaning into this.
Sure.
And the old guards of the old brokers, not advisors, you know, basically said, kid, go back to your office. It's a terrible idea.
Huh.
Branch manager, old guards in the office. And I was like, you know what? The more people tell me no, that just means I'm closer to a yes. And if you don't believe my vision, that doesn't matter, because it's not going to stop me. And I'll do my blue ocean strategy, because I realized through that process how terrible the financial services industry is with connecting with people just like my mom who needed to help.
Sure.
Along the way. So that was sort of the Society of the Few. And then this is before my kids. And I started having, you know, 3 beautiful daughters and a son. And I've got, you know, 8 nieces and 1 nephew. And so it's important, because I also want them to sort of take this far beyond. But I wanted to share that story while I have you.
That's a great story. I did not know that about your mom.
Thank you everyone for watching. This episode is sponsored by Blankenshine Wealth Management. We've been in the Coachella Valley for 40 years and we're built for the next 40 years. You can find us at blankenshinewealthmanagement.com. And now back to the episode.
And actually 2 o'clock, I didn't tell anybody in the staff this, but 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm waiting to be on the air at 2:50 with Frank Holland Pacific time, AM. And I get a call. My mom's in the hospital. She's fine, but she went in the hospital earlier this week at 2 o'clock. So my phone's going. I'm about to be on CNBC. It's Mayo Clinic. So I was able to juggle all of that, you know, as soon as I got off TV, I'm like calling and I'm like, okay, how's mom? And she's fine. She's better. But I didn't, because we had this whole big production this week. I didn't say it to anybody.
Oh, that's really hard. I mean, being on TV, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of concentration.
Yeah.
And so if you're seeing something and you know it's about your mom and you have to talk about the markets and you have to talk about, you know, your business and all that. I mean, wow.
Well, you know, when I first started doing a lot of the media stuff, scared to death, but I did take a lot of inspiration from you.
Oh.
And I watched exactly how you are on TV. I learned a lot.
Thanks.
And I love your energy. I love your intelligence is second to none, but your ability to articulate it to the home audience. We have tons of, actually, clients that just came just for you today.
Aww,
but thanks. We have a lot of clients that just love you.
Thank you.
Love you. And I love sitting in my office when I'm doing a client review and CNBC's on, and they go, "Ooh, stop, Stephanie's on."
Thank you. That's really so sweet of you.
No, it's fun. We had some fun. So,
Stephanie, one of the things I think that our audience needs to understand is how much you actually manage. Like, tell me about your career, because you're always so humble. I don't think you ever touch on this. And honestly, I don't believe that many out there
because you don't touch on it very much, you're just as big, if not bigger, than all the titans on Wall Street. So you're the queen of Wall Street, but tell me a little bit about the assets under management and where you've been, what you've done.
Yeah, so I, as you know, I wear a few hats at Hightower, and our CEO and I, we kind of created this role because it didn't exist. And so I love being the chief investment strategist for Hightower. I love being out there and being one of the faces of the firm and talking macro and being on TV. But what I really love is I love to talk about the markets. And Bob Boros and I, our CEO, we had this agreement that when I started, I wanted to actually run money. If I was going to be on TV, I wanted skin in the game. And I had been a portfolio manager at Nuveen. I had been a portfolio manager working with Jim Cramer. And so I had that expertise, although it's always very humbling. No matter how long you've been doing it, it's very humbling. But so he let me run money within the investment solutions team. So I am also now I'm the head of the investment solutions team, which is an inside asset manager. So it's any of the advisors that want to outsource their clients' investments to us, we will do that for them. So we, you and I, we're a partner. We're partners. I'm part of your team. That's the way I view it. Whether I'm running your clients' money or whether we're doing events like this together, we are just an extension. When I started, so basically, we run equity portfolios, fixed income portfolios, multi-asset portfolios, which is just a fancy way of saying we mix them together. You could have a whole bunch of different asset classes within a portfolio, so we'll do that as well. And of course, we also are in the process of doing more alternatives, private markets as well. And so when I started 4.5 years ago, we had about $800 million in assets under management. And today we have $5.7 billion. So I've been really excited about that. It's been fun. Of course, I tell Bob, I give him all the numbers every week. And he said, okay, but we got to get you to 10. You got to get to 10. And so every time we talk, I'm always excited about the numbers. And he's like, we got to get to 10. So we're hopefully going to get to 10.
Oh, you'll get to 10 before you know it. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
But I love to, I run an equity portfolio. I run two. I love to know about kind of the big picture macro, but I also love to get into the details and to run money. I can tell anyone a mile away on TV that is on TV and speaking, and if they don't run money, I can tell right away because they can just hypothesize and talk about a lot of different things, and there's not a lot of accountability. Whereas when I'm on TV, I'm like, oh no, I mean, I just picked that stock and I told everyone to buy it and it's down 10%. But it makes me a better investor too, because it really makes me know what's going on. So it's fun.
No, I am just a fan because I was watching. There's no question that you lean in when you're challenged, right?
Yeah.
It's the most humbling business in the world because, you're a hero today and tomorrow we wake up or one tweet an hour later and your whole thesis is out the door.
Yeah.
Right?
Very, very true.
And so it's a crazy world that we're in today. And so it's making it even more crazy. That being said, when you step into the research that you're doing, the companies that you're following, the CEOs that you're, the conference calls and so on and so forth, I love when you double down on a thesis and you're challenged, I think you did that with Broadcom and a few others on CNBC and you're right.
Yeah. Well, it's all about timing too and your time frame. And every show has a different timeline. But I try to think, I try to have a theme. And you and I have talked about themes.
Yeah.
We talk about a lot of different themes. I like to have a theme and then I like to dig down and find companies that are part of that theme. And the themes I look for, I hope that they have longevity. Like I'm looking for a decade long theme. And we've talked about cybersecurity. We all know about AI. Cybersecurity is going to be bigger than AI. We talk about housing. Right now it's not great. It's a decade long theme. We talk about onshoring and reshoring. And we talk about companies moving their supply chains out of China and bringing them here. That's not like a month kind of theme.
No, they're...
And so for me, that's how I think about it. And then I try to find
secular trend.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And what's great about that is you don't have to worry about the day-to-days. If you believe in that philosophy and this is where the thematic, But just keeping everyone engaged.
It's true. It's true. But I am mark to market every day, right? We look at the market as you are. And it seems like, you know, every day it's a little like, okay, I have my short-term hat on and then I have my long-term hat on. Right. I try to move, especially when the markets are up so much, I try to walk away because I don't want to get caught up in, oh, I should probably sell something because it's up so much or whatever. Or when the market is down, I love to be in there. If I liked a company and a stock at one price and it's down 10, 15% for no reason, if I don't buy it, then there's a problem.
Yeah. We went after quality brands that have been around for decades and they're leaders in their own space.
Yeah.
But just got caught up in the woke DEI discount.
Yes.
There is like a whole retail group that is in the discount bin.
Yeah.
And if you can go shopping at 30% discount.
Right.
Just because today this is their internal sort of corporate philosophy. And then look at that a couple of years later,
sure,
things change and it's not a discount anymore. And you got a 30% discount. So I love shopping when stuff's on sale.
Absolutely. Well, but you're unique because most people say they buy low and sell high.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. We know most people buy high and sell low. It's hard.
We've all done and held on to and I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm just early.
You're early. We all have those. Yes. We all have those. But I think that served me well, too. We have very similar styles. I'm a big fan of management teams as well. And I think being on TV and just being in the business for a long time, I happen to know a lot of CEOs. But the CEOs, they care about what you're saying. They have egos and they want to be successful and they do not want us to talk about them, you know, in a negative light. And so I've had a number.
Do you have people like the CEOs hit you up and say, hey, you weren't very favorable to me?
Yes, I will tell you a story. I think you might know this story, but I was on Squawk Box in the morning and Andrew Ross Sorkin was asking me about JP Morgan. And JP Morgan had an analyst day that morning or that whole day. And, you know, full disclosure, they have to put out a press release. And Jamie Dimon, the CEO, starts complaining about, well, business is fine, but the regulators, they're too conservative. We have excess capital. We don't need to have excess capital. And he's going on and on and on. So Andrew asked me, he's like, he kind of sounded really negative. What do you think about that? And I said, Jamie Dimon has been complaining about excess capital and regulators since 2008, and that's just Jamie Dimon. Now, I have no skin in the game on that name because I didn't own it, but I know Jamie Dimon just from the years that I've been following the company and him and his success. We end the interview, and I'm on my way to my gym, and I get a phone call and on my cell phone, and I picked it up, and it was this woman. She said, is this Stephanie Link? I said, yeah. And she said, hold on for Jamie Dimon, please.
Oh, shoot.
And I was literally in my like running gear. You know, like my brain is now not on TV and markets going. I'm ready to go run. And there he is. And he said, he didn't even say hello. He said, I wasn't complaining. I said, Jamie, you've been complaining since 2008. No, I really wasn't complaining. On and on and on. And I said, You're complaining, but yet you also have great performance. So what are you complaining about? He's like, I just wanted to say that we shouldn't have all this excess capital because I can lend more. I'm like, got it, Jamie. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do with this, and then he calmed down and then we said goodbye. But they do care. They care and they watch and it's pretty powerful. And I will say this one thing that I have learned over and what I now do over the last probably like 10 years, I will not invest in a company unless I have met the CEO and or the bench, because you can learn a lot about meeting the CEOs. And even if you just want to listen to them on a conference call, but I want to meet them in person and just get to know them and just watch what they do and their history and their execution and their strategy. And in stressful times, can they recover? And that's what's so big, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And do they put their money where their mouth is?
Yeah.
When the stock is down, do they go out with their personal, you know, open up their wallet and double down?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's a good tell of conviction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in talking to the CEOs and the CFOs and the bench, they're not going to tell me anything. And I don't want to know anything that's not public. But you can tell by their body language, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can even tell when you're watching them on a Zoom, right? It's amazing.
Stephanie, thank you. This has been wonderful. We could sit here for hours, but
I always enjoy it.
We got to be on stage, but thanks for joining the podcast today.
Let's go. Thank you.
We just heard from Stephanie Link. She is amazing. She's such a stud. I hope everyone enjoyed it just as much as I did. We've been planning this event for about a year now, so we've all been waiting that long to hear from Stephanie Link, and she definitely did not let us down. And this event has been amazing. I hope that everyone that attended enjoyed it just as much as I did. It's going to be hosted again next year, so be looking out for the Confidence Summit 2026. As we always do, we're going to end with a quote. And the quote is, being rich is having money. Being wealthy is having time. And that quote is by Margaret Bonanno, author. Thank you again, everyone, for watching. As always, be sure to like and subscribe to The Few Podcast and be on the lookout for the next episode. We're going to have another exciting guest, so be sure not to miss that.
This podcast is brought to you by David Field Producer. It is produced and directed by David Field and Kristen George, and its mix, edit, and socials by Kristen George. Blanky Shine Wealth Management is a group of investment professionals registered with Hightower Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC, and with Hightower Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is not indicative of current or future performance and is not a guarantee. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data and information referenced herein are from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analysis, prices, or other information contained in this research is provided as general market commentary. It does not constitute investment advice. Blanky Shine Wealth Management and Hightower shall not in any way be liable for claims and make no expressed or implied representations or warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the data and other information or for statements or errors contained in or omissions from the obtained data and information referenced herein. The data and information are provided as of the date referenced. Such data and information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are solely those of Blanky Shine Wealth Management and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.